Exodus chapter 3. This is a story about Moses. Moses is on the backside of the desert, as it tells us in the first verse. He looked and saw a bush that was burning. But the historians tell us that it wasn't that the bush was burning that attracted his attention. It was that it wasn't being consumed that attracted his attention. So it was common. It was dry. It was desert. I don't understand what he was doing there with a flock, with some sheep, if it was so dry and desert, but he was on the back side of the desert. It was dry. With that, I suppose we think that it was barren. What in the world was he doing with the flock of Jethro in such a place? Verse number 5 is the verse that I want to draw from this evening, just for a little bit. Don't laugh at that. I think it'll be just a little bit. And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." If we were in Moses' shoes, in Moses' place, we would probably look around us and say, "What do you mean this is holy ground? This is arid, this is wasteland, this is barren. This is empty. How can you think that this is holy ground?" If we go back into the earlier life of Moses, Moses was alive because of a miracle. God had sustained his life in an unusual way. His mother had been given discernment, wisdom, and understanding how to save and salvage his life. He was a proper child. They had great anticipation and much hope for this young man, this young boy. Made his way eventually to the palace, was raised with the best that there was in the land of Egypt. The best of upbringing, so to speak, the best of education, the best of nourishment, the best of clothing. Everything around him was the best. Now, he made a decision, he made a choice, and from that choice, we find him here at the backside of the desert. We would probably all, with consensus, understand or say that that choice was not a good choice. Not that he was getting out of Egypt's palace. That's not necessarily the problem. It's the reason why he fled. He killed somebody and he was afraid. He was fearful, and perhaps it was necessary for him to flee. Otherwise, his life would have been in jeopardy again. But because of his choice, we could see that because of his choice, that here he is at the backside of the desert, as the scripture tells us. It's arid, it's barren, it is a wasteland, and he's taking care of sheep. Now, I suppose that we've been around the church long enough and we've heard it long enough that shepherds were not the highest of society. They were near the bottom. They were down below somewhere. But Moses had an education. Moses had a place in the palace. Moses had an upbringing that should have placed him much higher than a shepherd. If you know the cliche, born with a silver spoon in their mouth, you would understand that that was probably a cliche that would fit Moses. He was born with a silver spoon. Everything that was available was at his fingertips. Everything good was there. But because of a choice, because of a decision, we find him back here at the backside of the desert. But God wanted to get his attention, and God brought his attention to that burning bush that wasn't consumed, and he drew near to it, and God spoke to him in the midst of that burning bush. I'd like to go back several chapters in the Bible and go into Genesis. And in Genesis, we find, near the end of Genesis, we find the story of Joseph. What an incredible story. If you're reading the Bible through again this year and you started from Genesis 1:1, probably you've already read that portion of it, or you're getting ready to, depending on how it's all set up and the way you're reading. But somewhere you've read that or going to read that story about Joseph. What all did Joseph have to deal with? Oftentimes I think about the life of Joseph, and I try to compare myself with him. It's not always good. Maybe in this case it's not necessarily bad. But I can't help but think, knowing my disposition, now don't sit there all smug and self-righteous and think that this isn't you, because chances are it is you as well. But because I know who I am and the way that I am and my disposition and my nature and my feelings and all of that, I can't help but think that had God put me into the same predicaments that Joseph was in, that I would not have come out the same way that Joseph came out. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, it's because of Joseph's reactions to what God brought him into and took him through. It's the way that he reacted to it that continued to lead him into the places of success and the places of increase. You say increase? He was in prison. Yeah, but everywhere he went and everything he did, God blessed him. I don't know. Go back and start off with the ruthless brothers that he had. Being sold into slavery doesn't sound very exciting or very successful. It wasn't his choice. It's not that he did something to do or to deserve what was taking place, like we could see in the life of Moses. He was simply going through life. He was following God. God was speaking to him in dreams, and his brothers resented those dreams. I don't know that Joseph fully understood them at the time that he dreamed them, but I can't help but think that he had some small measure of understanding, even at the point of his dreaming those dreams. But we find him in Potiphar's house. We find him accused and sent immediately to a dungeon. Not a pleasant place, not a good place. But even in the midst of the dungeon, even in the midst of slavery in Potiphar's house, his reaction to it all changed the course that could have been. So when we come on out then and find out in the later parts there of Genesis, and we'll see and read that he speaks it with his own voice. He speaks it with his own mouth to his brothers. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You've heard me refer to that a number of times, and I believe it. It's what we ought to stand on in the midst of anything that comes our way. Till the storm passes by. Joseph followed the heart of God in the midst of his difficult circumstances. Moses, we find him standing here in this arid place, barren, empty, void, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep when he should have been leading people in Egypt, so to speak. A master of many, but here he is basically a worker for somebody else in the lowest of society. And he hears God's voice that in the midst of this place, God is saying to him, this is holy ground. Now, what that speaks to us, or how that speaks to us tonight, could be very simple. What is the circumstance of your life? What is the situation of your life? What are the points of interest that are surrounding you tonight? It doesn't matter who we are, but what is it that we are living in? And what are the problems that we are facing, or the battle that we are dealing with? What is the desert place like for us? I believe that as I look at the life of Moses, the look at the life of Joseph, that either one of these, specifically here looking at Moses, because this is the one that where God is speaking to him out of this unusual circumstance, that these individuals, were placed in these circumstances in order for God to use for good. Moses would never have been able to be the leader that he became for the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness or to leave Egypt and go to Canaan. He would never have been able to be the leader that he was had he not spent these years in these circumstances. We have to realize, all of us have to realize, that the circumstances of our life, whether it's a flat tire on Monday morning, or a sad thing on Friday afternoon that would take place, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are in our lives, as we allow them to be used to make us and God to mold us in the midst of those circumstances, we find ourselves standing on holy ground at any moment of our lives, whether it's on the mountaintop, on the mountain slope, or in the valley between, that God is working out his purpose and his plan for each one of us. We just have to trust him and follow his hand and follow his plan, even though we can't see what the next step may be. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It might be that you are surrounded by evil and sin. And it does, in those points or in those places where sin abounds all around us, that gives us an opportunity to allow the light to shine even brighter. The circumstances that God brings us are never to destroy us, but always to develop us. Always. Satan may want them to come our way, as in the case of Job, to destroy us. And it could be that Satan has walked to and fro in the earth and looked out and saw you and said to God, this person, if you will allow me to inflict them with pain, or you would allow me to inflict them with problems, or you would allow me to touch them physically, whatever the case may be, however it unfolds, that Satan is saying to God, this person, if you will allow me to do such and such to them, they will curse you to your face. But then we find that Job, in the midst of those very circumstances that Satan was confident was going to turn him against God, it strengthened his faith, where Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Whether we can grasp fully tonight or not, they are powerful thoughts for us to realize that as we walk with God, he has our interest at heart. He is interested in the details of our lives. We can simply trust him. What is it that you're living in right now? What is the circumstance? Where are you standing? It may not be a burning bush that is getting your attention, that is drawing your attention, and is a miraculous thing taking place. It may just simply be the mundane of life. It may simply be the boredom of life. It may even be the problems of life. But the place where you stand is holy. God can use it for his glory and his benefit. Let's stand together tonight. we stand on holy ground, keep our eyes upon Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Trust you have a good week this week. Join God's blessings. Pray one for another. We still have some sickness around. Pray that God would eliminate the sickness, keep it from spreading. Some families have had it through the household and maybe a time or two. Let's pray that God would touch these that are not able to be here because of sickness. And praying for each one that you think of, hold them up in prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Joel, would you dismiss us tonight?